Welcome to Business Uncensored. Not your normal business show. That's definitely what we strive to be here in the world of what I like to call plasticky LinkedIn. That you're starting to see as millennials and as Gen Z starts entering the workforce, you're starting to see a little more diversity, which I really, really like in business. And personal brand is huge in business now. We're not so much 10, 15 years ago that it was, but we definitely need to work on personal brand. And Larry is somebody that I met recently. You're doing that journey right now. I did that journey, cut that journey off. Now I'm back on that journey. So Larry Roberts, welcome to the show. Red Hat Media, correct, is what you are best.
That is correct. That is correct. Yes, Red Hat Media.
So my starting question right now, because we're going to start out a personal brand, is how do I say this respectfully? When did you start the Red Hat thing? Because Red Hats have become just a tiny bit fucking diverse now.
Tiny doesn't even begin to describe it. The Red Hat was an accident. It really was. And I talk about it a little bit in my book that just happens to be right behind me here under the Red Hat. So a little quick plug. But I actually went and I was giving a talk at the Amalie Arena in Tampa, Florida. And I went up there to do a talk on, I think I was talking about doing courses or some shit. And I knew the audience was a little bit younger. And me trying to be the cool guy that I want to be, I was wearing a Supreme hat. So if you're not familiar with Supreme, it's a lifestyle brand. And all their stuff is red. It's just, regardless of what it is, it's red. And then with white letters, it just says Supreme real big in a bold font. And I was wearing that Supreme hat on stage. And I came down off stage. A good friend of mine, he goes, "Hey, man, great talk, blah, blah, blah." He goes, "But why are you wearing that Supreme hat on stage?" And I told him, well, because I'm at the time, I think I was about 48. And I'm just trying to still be kind of cool and connect with this younger audience. He goes, "That's great and all. And I respect what you're doing. But unless they're paying you, you need to be wearing your brand on stage." And that made sense, right? But he goes, "You know what? I love the red." Because, and Ryan, we've met in real life, but you know, listen to this, probably haven't met me yet. I'm about 6'3", about 240. I'm a big guy. I'm loud. I'm brash. I'm tall. I kind of stand out. And that red hat on my head, he said, it's like a beacon. It's like a lighthouse just in a crowd. And it helps because we can see you from the end of the hall. You know, I see that red hat and I know Larry's here. So after that conversation, I went home and it made a whole lot of sense. So I loved the red and I loved the impact that it was having, but I didn't need to rock the Supreme. So I tossed the Supreme hat to the side, jumped on Amazon, bought a red unbranded flat billed hat, brought that to the house for like $6.99, gave it a little 5-10 degree tilt to the right, and the red hat guy was born. So I didn't know that it was going to really be a thing, but people instantly started recognizing me as the red hat. And it really, really hit home. Just a few months later, I went to Bitcoin Miami, which is a massive, like one of the largest Bitcoin conferences in the world. And there was like 30,000 people there over the course of 3 days. And during that time, multiple people who I had never met found me, came up to me and went, "Oh, you're the podcast guy. We saw the red hat." So after that happened, I was like, "Holy shit, this is real. This is the real deal." So I ended up changing my business name and just really embraced the whole red hat thing. And that's what brought us to where we're at today. And it's just been, it literally overnight changed the way I do business, changed the level of recognition that I had, changed people acknowledging the fact that I'm even in the space. It's just amazing what a strong personal brand can do for you.
Absolutely. And I wish I had that story, but my mine is I'm fat Conor McGregor and he could beat the shit out of me and sue me. So I got to come up with a different shtick.
Yeah, you're probably going to go a little bit different. Something just a tad different. I mean, it kills me every time I hear it. I fucking laugh. You know, I think it's hilarious. Go ahead.
It was such a weird thing. Every now and then I get that, right? They're from a distance. They're drunk. They're whatever. "Hey, you kind of resemble Conor McGregor." Yeah, it's the haircut, the beard. I get it, right? Yeah, that's kind of my personal thing, right? And so every now and then I just lean into it, right? And at that conference, just to catch everybody up, at that conference – you always have that shtick, right? And this is my first podcast conference. So I just started introducing myself after the second or third person said I look like Conor McGregor. I just started introducing myself as Fat Conor McGregor, and holy shit, now everybody that I added on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook now just calls me Fat Conor McGregor. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but as far as personal brand, I've got some ideas. But to kind of narrow in on the personal brand thing, when you were speaking on stage and you were struggling to find a personal brand, and this gentleman helped you out by giving you that piece of advice, what are some of the things that you knew that when you're building a personal brand in business, because you're a public speaker, your media, podcasting, all of that, and you know how intensive that is. What are some of the other things that you struggled with building that personal brand before you got to where you were at?
Well, I struggled with all of it. I struggled with finding the personal brand. And it's funny because you're talking about being the Fat Conor McGregor and everybody references the Fat Conor McGregor reference. But a lot of people, and it's still this way today, they know the red hat guy, but they couldn't tell you my name. Mm-hmm. So there's still that component as well. So the red hat has transcended even who I am. And going up through the ranks before the red hat was even established. And again, it's only a couple of years old. I've only been doing it a couple of years. But before that, I kept trying to find a way to stand out. I went through so many different brands, so many different attempts at a brand, and so many different attempts at doing what I thought I needed to do to be a brand. And I never knew how to just embrace being me. So the cool thing is that once I landed on the red hat, and it just happened to be a flat billed hat that I could tilt to the right a little bit, that's my style. That's how I dress regardless. Now, blue's my favorite color. I never would have chose red, but but the red works, and I can embrace that. But it was the mistakes of trying to conform and trying to fit into a mold of what I thought was a brand instead of just embracing me. Just be who I am. It's funny because I look back at, man, just 3 years ago, not even probably three, just before the red hat, maybe even, I was on a podcast here in Dallas, and there's a gentleman by the name of Jeff Crilly, and he owns some of the Cat Daddiest podcast studios in all of Dallas. And I was on his show, and he was he was a news anchor here at Fox 4 for 20 plus years. So I thought I had to dress up. So you see me there, and I'm in a collared shirt, and I've got a jacket on, and I got my hair did, and I'm sitting there all prim and proper, and I'm talking about Joe Rogan and how Joe Rogan had such an impact on the podcast industry, and the podcast industry continues to grow, and the forecast. Yeah, fuck that. that's not right. That's not who I am. That's not my gig, you know? So I look at that and I go, oh my God, dude, you were trying so hard to fit in or build that brand. Instead of just being you, you know, now I'm on ABC here in the Dallas-Fort Worth market quite regularly on the morning show here. And this is how I go. I've got my little zip up, you know, pullover. I got my red hat. I got my glass. I got my Jordans on. I got my jeans on. It's me because that's how I dress. That's how I've always dressed. That's how I'm comfortable. And that's the absolute key component. And we hear this word all the fucking time, authenticity. Nobody wants to even hear the word authenticity anymore because that's all you hear.
Right.
But so many people try to fake being authentic that it backfires on them. And they're so worried about their name being out there. I don't give a shit if anybody knows my name. They know my brand, though. They know my business. Mm-hmm. They know that I'm in the podcast space. They know that the red hat guy can help you launch a podcast, grow a podcast, blah, 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 blah. That he can do. They know exactly what the red hat stands for, but they don't have to know my name to come to me and want to do business with me. So I'm not doing it to be popular or be famous or any of that nonsense that you think comes with being a personal brand, or that Gary Vee or Grant Cardone or any of these other guys or Alex Hormozi or any of these cats, that they have a name, but their name is their brand. It doesn't have to be that. And the odds of me establishing Larry Roberts as a brand are infinitely more remote than having something recognizable like a red hat that lets me stand out in a crowd and instigate those conversations. And that's all I want to do with my personal brand, is to start those conversations. Because if I start the conversation, I have the opportunity to build a relationship. And on top of that relationship, there may be an opportunity to do business. And on top of doing business, there's all these other opportunities for other connections. And it just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And I could give a shit if anybody knows my name.
You're correct. And so back when I was doing public speaking before, but it was marketing and insurance. The marketing company I came from, we did a lot of insurance marketing, a lot of insurance websites, a lot of insurance marketing, a lot of that stuff. So I spent a lot of time at insurance conventions talking, and I always wore a sweater vest, right? No matter what I wore, always a sweater vest. I've got an entire closet of ugly ass sweater vests.
Let me guess. It was Fat Michael P. Keaton. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, it was back then. It was just fat guy. There was no Conor McGregor in that. But yeah, I always wore a sweater vest, and people could pick me out of a crowd because I don't have your luxury of being 6'3" at all. I'm like 5'9" if I stretch. And so, but having that sweater vest on, always people would always know it was me because every day at the conference, every video I made, everything that I did, I'd always have that on. And I got known as a sweater vest guy. And so I get it, but that's not something I really wanted to lean into. And at the time, I don't think I really got that. Maybe I could have. Maybe we could write like bro books of sweater vest media, you know, and whatever. And by the time we find a couple other people, have a whole fucking outfit, you know. But no, I get that personal branding. And back when I was a comedian, we didn't have the social media and the way to personal brand necessarily that we do now. So you had those things. What are some of the mistakes you see people make in their personal branding? Because you've been pretty successful at it. But what are some of the things when you look at somebody, you're like, man, that is just not going to fly. That is not going to work.
Yeah, a lot of it is trying not to be yourself, trying to force yourself to fit a particular mold. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. Or you see somebody else doing something and you try to emulate that brand that you're seeing there. You know, you may try to emulate Gary Vee, and you might try to drop F-bombs in every sentence that you say. But if that's not you, it's not going to resonate. If you don't naturally drop F-bombs every time you speak, it's going to sound stupid. And it's funny, because I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was talking about confidence, because I go into calls differently these days than I used to back in the day. So I'd go into a call, I'd be all nervous, and I'd be like real tentative and even desperate to a certain degree, because I really wanted this brand to work. And while I thought that I was exuding confidence at the time, internally, I was in turmoil. I had zero confidence, and people can smell that. You know, it's like a shark smelling water. If you come to a conversation and you don't have confidence in what you're doing, what you're presenting, what you're saying, they're going to see that right out of the gate. And it's very difficult to try to force yourself into a mold that once again is not you. And I go back to the reference of the podcast where I was in a jacket and a collared shirt. And I was doing the same thing at networking organizations here in Dallas. I belonged to several fairly high profile organizations. And I thought, man, these are all businessmen. They're all CEOs, and they're all, you know, C-suite type individuals. I have to conform. And dude, nobody wanted to talk to me. You know, I wasn't comfortable. I'd go to the meetings. I'm like, hi, I'm Larry. Good to meet you. But until I came in and was me and was comfortable in my own skin and was building around a brand around that authentic self of mine, that's when the change started happening. So that's the biggest mistake is, and now I see a lot of people going, well, how do I find my red hat? What is my red hat? And I'll see them try to wear a t-shirt, or I'll see them try to wear some shoes, or I'll see them try to wear, I don't know, a belt buckle or whatever it may be. That's not the key to finding your personal brand. Once again, people are looking at what I've done that has accidentally, and I stress that, accidentally worked for me.
Right.
I found that because I'm comfortable, and it just happens to be that element. So you got to look inside you and go, what makes you comfortable? What puts you in a position that gives you confidence in what you're presenting and allows you to walk with your back straight and your shoulders as broad as they can possibly be and present yourself in a manner that people are going to go, damn, not only do I recognize this person, now I have confidence in what they're telling me to be true. So that's the big thing. And it's just like my book called Under the Red Hat. The red hat's not the brand. The red hat gives me the opportunity to present my brand, which is everything that's under the red hat. It's how I interact with people. It's what I want to do for people. It's how I leverage my uniqueness in the service of others. And I stole that line from the pit bull of, I think it's the pit bull of motivation. Larry Winget is his name. He's the one that coined that phrase. Finding your brand is like finding what your uniqueness is and then using that in the service of others. That's your brand. I use this red hat as my moniker. That's my uniqueness, but everything under it is what I use in service of everybody that I work with. That's the key.
So, So that kind of leads me into my next question, right? Is that how much of that personal brand that you make is a character, is not Larry, but is actually a character? How far do you separate yourself and your personal brand? Because you have to feel confident, you have to feel unique, but you cannot say that your brand or the character or the personal brand that you make is the person that you 100% really are. So how do you find that balance, and what is that?
That's fucking tough. That's real tough, because even at these conferences, you know, there are times where I have to get off of the floor and I have to go take the red hat off and just chill. I have to breathe, you know, because if you see me at a conference, I'm going, I'm talking, I'm shaking hands, I'm networking, I'm just engaging with everybody on the floor. But if you see me at home, I'm just chilling. I'm quiet. Ambivert? Is that what they were calling them there at the conference?
Yeah.
I think I'm probably an ambivert, where I'm an extrovert when I'm around people, but I'm very introverted at the CASA. I live with headphones on, and I play video games a lot. Okay, I'm a WoW nerd, so I've been playing World of Warcraft for years, and I still play WoW. That's where I go, man. It's that line, but I have to have that.
My wife is starting to understand that too, is because we found out we have a lot of similarities or whatever, is that like this morning I went and filmed our little live local TV show I put on here for
I saw that at, the Chamber of Commerce or whatever it was.
Doing the Chamber of Commerce thing, it's growing. I'll show you what it was to what it is now, and then we know what it's going to be. Last week, I filmed the mayor's State of the City address. This week, I'm working with the downtown district. Like, I'm in a town of 15,000 people, so you got me beat on the Dallas, but I'm very involved in my community, very involved in those things, right? And I'm out, and I'm doing this, and we go to our local brewery where that's filmed. I do marketing for that guy, and I'm in there, and I can't walk through the place because everybody's stopping me. Everybody knows me. We talk to everybody. And then we get home, and all of a sudden my love language at times becomes leave me the fuck alone, because I'm just out. Like, I've done this for so long that I just want to go sit in a chair. I want to play video games. I want to grab my Switch and I want to play Breath of the Wild, or I want to, here's my embarrassing. Everybody has an embarrassing TV show that they can't get enough of. Mine is 90 Day Fiance. So I sit there and I binge out. Right. It's awful, man.
I watched the first, I think, two seasons, that I checked out, but no, you know, it was fun.
No, it really is. Like, anybody that's dysfunctional more than I am, I love to watch, but it's hard to find, and that show is there. I come home and I don't say a lot. She goes, honey, you're okay. You're all right. Like, at the bar, you're all like, and I'm like, so we've only been married like 7 months. And I'm like, I'm fine. My battery's just dead. Like I can't talk to another human being without fuck youing them. So I'm just going to sit over here and save my marriage. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And so she's starting to know that. And that's kind of weirdly my personal brand too. I am that guy that says fuck a lot, like incredibly amount of times. But that's authentically me, and I get away with it. That's a thing that I can do because I know where to do it. I come from radio, so I knew when to curse, when not to curse, what I can do, what I can't do, and developing that. But yeah, the back when I was doing comedy, I had a character, C.L. Ryan, that I did, and it took over my life. It cost me a marriage. It cost me a this. It cost me a that, because I didn't know where the comedian, which was a horrible asshole, and the real me, which was kind of an asshole. Like, we were on the same spectrum. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't that right. But where it ended, and it overtook my life. So now that I'm kind of at this journey of developing a personal brand, I'm trying to not let it overtake my life, but I still got to make that character that's not really authentically me, but some version of an authentic me. That is a rough thing to do.
No, it's super tough. And I mean, I can relate to that 100%. We literally have no F zones in my house, because I tend to say fuck so much that my wife's like, bro, not in here. These are no F zones. This is a place of tranquility. I get scolded if I say the F word in those zones. But when you see me at a conference or you see me out in public, you don't hear me say F, really. And maybe at night, maybe when we're hanging out or something, but I don't say that. And, you know, we were talking a little bit in the green room before we hit record. It's to a certain degree taken some of the, no, it's taken a lot of the fun out of podcasting because, you know, my first podcast was a comedy podcast, and it was as blue as it gets. Even the name was an innuendo. The name of the show was called Accidentally the Whole Tip. And it just crushed. But we had, you know, all we had on the show was like porn stars and crazy lawyers and, you know, crazy musicians. It was just unfiltered fun. We just had a blast with it. And then I was still in corporate America at the time when that show was going. And I finally got that knock on the door, said, "Hey, man, you want to take a walk to HR? We need to have a chat," because people were wearing my merch to the office. I had people at work that were wearing Accidentally the Whole Tip t-shirts and hoodies to the office. Like, bro, we can't have ATWT all through the office. That you're going to have to either drop the show or pack your bags. So I ended up packing my bags and I launched a business podcast because I still loved podcasting and I still wanted to talk to people. But, you know, I went straight arrow, Gennaro, and I've been straight arrow ever since, because after I launched that podcast, I started getting into the industry, started learning the industry. And I felt, well, if I'm going to be in the industry and leveraging podcast as a business, I have to keep a nice, squeaky, clean external appearance. And that's where we're at today. People have urged me to bring the tip back. You know, they're like, "Oh, my God, with your brand, you could really make the tip huge." And there's a lot of innuendos there, but I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. It would be devastating. At least I think it would be devastating to my brand now if I was to bring that show back.
Kind of the same way. So we have a lot of similarities. Like I'd mentioned, it was called the Cult Radio Show, and the CL stood for cult leader. So I can't really bring that back. That's not a thing that we need to do. Because on a resume, I was a cult leader for a little while. Like that doesn't, that's not a thing that flies. It's a weird story that maybe someday we get into.
But it was,
and that's what CL stood for. It was cult leader. It's called the Cult Radio Show. But basically, it was just based off of Howard Stern, Opie Anthony, Jim Norton, kind of that type of comedy they were doing back then. Sure. And it was just me and three of my friends that got together without limits, without understanding, and did the thing, right? And come in and talked about it. And I still have all those episodes. I've scrubbed them from the internet the best that I could. But I still have those episodes on a hard drive. And every now and then I listen to them. And I'm like, yeah, this can't see the light of day, because how they were pushing limits, and all of them in some version eventually got fired or had to tone it down or had to be removed. Who the fuck was I with 50,000 followers that got to do this? That journey, just kind of like yours, I found another thing. At the time we were making YouTube videos, and this was back in 2009, 2010, right? And so we had some video element, but not a lot. But we were doing advertising. And back in the social media day, what I did was I printed Cult Radio Show A-frame t-shirts. I believe the untechnical term is wife beater shirts, whatever. That's, you know, for older school people. And I would print tank tops, but they're not. They were the ribbed undershirt type of whatever. Okay. I'm from the Ozarks, man. That's just what we called them.
We call them wife beaters too.
But we would put our logo on them, and then we'd send them to the hot girls that followed the show. And to get the shirt back, to get the shirt for free, they had to send me, or actually my marketing staff, pictures in that shirt. And then we would take those and we would use those for the advertisements of the show. Okay. Now, in doing that, I started getting into marketing, started doing whatever. And that started my giant major journey into becoming the marketing director at an Inc. 5000 company. I had zero education, zero whatever. I just kind of knew what I was doing. So that was that journey for me. And it's kind of weird that now I'm back into podcasting. Like, I didn't stay in podcasting. I took this big old journey other direction. And here I sit with you talking to a fellow sleaze podcast guy. I don't know if, you know, that now we're like in the industry and we're out here like having agencies and making personal brands and doing the thing, because at that time people were telling us that we were stupid or we wouldn't do it. This better never see the light of the day. And even though that wasn't the thing that made us famous or wasn't the thing that made us where we are today, it was definitely that first stepping stone to it.
Oh, 100%, dude. And I mean, that's why I started podcasting in the first place. You know, I thought podcasts were for nerds. I was too busy playing WoW to listen to podcasts, but I, you know, I was like, oh, I don't have time for that nerd stuff. I got to cast some spells. But a friend of mine finally talked me into listening to an episode of Joe Rogan. And the first episode that I ever listened to had Joey Diaz and Tony Hinchcliffe on as guests. And when I heard the jokes they were telling, because if you know who Joey Diaz or Tony Hinchcliffe are, they're very blue comics, you know, And I grew up in the 80s. I was raised on Dice Clay and Kinnison to this day is still my all-time favorite comic. All those guys, Carlin and Robin Williams and everybody, the list goes on and on. And when I heard those guys tell those jokes on a podcast, I was like, oh, you mean I can tell those jokes on a podcast and not get in trouble? Holy shit, this is for me. So I ran out, bought a microphone and started podcasting. I had no idea what the hell I was doing, but it just took off and it was so amazing. I just stumbled onto some early podcasting success with, as a matter of fact, the results that I had then, I've yet to replicate on any show since then.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
But we took it to a stage show. It turned into an open mic. We started a live stage show that was influenced by Kill Tony. And we did that for, man, it ran for 7 or 8 years. It just went shut down last year. And only reason it shut down last year is because the bar that it was being held in, it got shut down by the IRS. But it would probably still be running to this day. And at one point, it even grew to be the largest open mic in all of Dallas-Fort Worth outside of the comedy clubs. So people would drive from all over Fort Worth and Dallas and the entire Metroplex and come to this open mic that we started with our silly little podcast. Because I heard an episode of Joe Rogan that made me laugh. So it's just insane how the influences that you have can lead to, I mean, obviously much bigger and better things.
On the 80s comedian, George Carlin was mine. George Carlin is my staple. I believe that most of those books that you see over my shoulder, because here's my fun thing. Once I get my studio finished, I looked at all these upper level businessmen studios that I helped produce and helped did whatever. And everything in my studio is a joke about how podcast studios are starting to look. And all of these are. They're George Carlin, Charles Bukowski, and Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's the books on that shelf. That's
awesome. Yeah. Well, all the books above me here are other podcasters that have written books, and it's just me showing some love to the community. So all of them back there are written by somebody that has a podcast.
Way to make me look like a dick.
I told you, man, it's how you give yourself in service to your community, bro. That's the brand. I'm just showing that I reinforce, I practice what I preach. And then you might see my Daniel Sanchia pet there. I got a Daniel Sanchia pet right there.
The thing you can't see, like this corner that you'll see in other ones, because I accidentally put a hole in my wall while I was designing my studio. So that's covering the hole in my wall till I get to fix it this weekend. Gotcha. Is a painting my wife made. And then on this is a 3D printed skull of me and my marketing company that my buddy made for me. So
I dig. Well, this over here on my left is on this side, the little white spiky ball. That's from Tron. If you remember the movie Tron.
Yep.
I've got the little white one back here too. The other white one there, that's, if you remember, he had bit, I don't know if you were, I'm really dating myself, but he had a little bit that followed him around while he was in the video game.
Yeah.
Say yes, or no. And it would be, yes, it would be flat like that one. And if he said no, it would be spiky like the other one. So that's, those two represent the yes and no of Tron and all kinds of shit, man. And I love dinosaurs, so I got a dinosaur. And R, that's my name.
Yeah. And this all goes to personal brand, because when you design out these studios, when you design out these stages, when you design out, you have to put your personal brand into it. As far as my company, I'm director of programming. I can't reach my camera because I got too much shit sitting in front of me right now. But right over here is a giant UHF poster.
Okay.
If you don't know what UHF... Weird Al Yankovic. This is the life I'm living right now, because I'm the director of programming, meaning that people that want podcasts or a show have to go through me to get their show. So I get to do whatever I want, right? I get to be like, and then we have like house hosts and stuff like that. So as of right now, what we're looking for is looking into industries, places, or whatever that needs a podcast. We're building the show. And then looking for a host to take that show over. Like we are literally building these things from the ground up. And this all started from me wanting to say the C word and being a podcast so I could.
Same. Again, we have so much in common. I just wanted to tell Dick and not get in trouble. And a podcast was the perfect forum to do it. So.
Yeah, it was my wife at the time, which is not my wife now. My wife at the time didn't like me being in clubs and didn't like me touring, because apparently I come home smelling like other women enough. She gets really sick of that shit. So
they do get a little get a little tore up about that. Yeah,
they do. So I started. The podcast became something that I started because I didn't want to tour anymore and I didn't want to do comedy anymore. And I also at the time, I think I drove truck a little bit. I bartended a little bit. I was really dedicated to becoming that comedian, and I ended up becoming a marketer. But you know, it's all a joke anyway.
Well, you know, on the flip side, my co-host actually became a comedian because of the podcast. He ended up touring with Eddie Griffin, and he had a residency at the New Sahara in Vegas for a couple of years, and it all came from the podcast. And, you know, he's still crushing it today. So, but it all started right there. It was amazing.
It is amazing once those planets align, because once you get your personal brand down and once you know how to distribute that personal brand, kind of like you have your book, you have your podcast, you have your red hat, and you just keep adding things to it. And like I said, you're a tad bit ahead of me to where I want to be, but kind of like the same vein, I've got a downtown show. I'm working with the city. I'm doing this show. I'm booking speaking events. I'm doing whatever. So tell me, our industry, which we are in, podcasting, marketing, media type stuff, but how do you feel, how important is personal brand for your day-to-day business? Let's say I'm a restaurant. Let's say I'm a restaurateur. Let's say I'm a real estate agent. Let's say I'm, whatever. How important is that personal brand in those areas?
I think it's absolutely critical regardless of what industry you're in, because in today's content creator and content entrepreneur environment that we're in, having that personal brand is what's going to differentiate you from everybody else that's in your industry. You have the opportunity now to stand out in a way that you've never been able to do it before. You know, YouTube is the number one content consumption platform for both podcasts, videos, you name it. Everybody's on YouTube. So if you have the opportunity to establish a personal brand that really stands out and really resonates with someone, you have an opportunity to leverage that and gain an even bigger audience. So if you look at anybody that's out there right now that's making an impact, regardless of their industry, I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk, for one, you know, he's got a marketing company, but he's also got a wine company. He's got all these other companies, but it's his personal brand that gets him all that attention. And I'm not saying go out and mirror what Gary Vaynerchuk is doing by any way, shape, fashion, or form, because there's too many fake Garys that are out there right now. But take your personal brand and do something similar, and it's going to help you stand out. And again, it doesn't really matter what industry you're in. Some, I think it matters more than others. You mentioned real estate agents. I think real estate agents have to do something today to stand out. There's a million real estate agents that are out there. Everybody's trying to do the same thing, and everybody's trying to put their face on the billboard or the park bench or whatever it may be. Now you have the opportunity to put your face literally everywhere and in front of millions of people. And if you can do something hyper-focused in your area, like what I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. I'm working on a show right now called DFW Business Builders, hyper-focused on the Dallas-Fort Worth business builders, CEOs and entrepreneurs that have built businesses to the point where they really stand out in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. Those are the people that I'm talking to, but it's hyper-focused. And if I keep it hyper-focused, guess what? I'm going to be the guy that's talking to all of these big time business owners and entrepreneurs. They're going to look at me as the guy that knows all these people and has that connection and has that network. So I'm building my personal brand in this area by leveraging this hyper Dallas market show. So there's an opportunity for everybody to do that with their personal brand.
Absolutely. And I would agree with you 1,000%. I think because you can destroy your personal brand too. I was just talking about this on the last podcast that I filmed. I remember in marketing, and I still do it locally, is I consult with people that want to start their own business, entrepreneurs, small business owners, to kind of help them smooth out the rough edges in marketing, stuff like that. Right. And I remember I had a guy message me and said, "Hey, can you do this?" And I said, "Yeah," because consultation is free. I'll just sit down. I'll give people advice all day long. If they want to continue on to work, that's great. So I sat down. And you could tell the guy had some troubles. He'd been in prison. That's not a big deal to me. You always get second chances. See how reformed this guy is. And we sat down and we start talking, and it became very, very clear to me really quick that this guy doesn't have a chance. Because if you go, I had him pull up his social media. He's arguing with people. He's not posting very well. He's not being concise on his posts. His posts look more like begging than they do marketing and stuff like that. And then when I tried to talk to him about it, He argued with me. I don't know what I should have expected, but he argued with me too. But yes, your personal brand, living in the world of social media, living in the world of Instagram, TikTok, whatever, it doesn't take much to fuck your personal brand up either.
No.
So what are some of the things that you feel maybe are not so obvious ways of fucking your brand up?
Man, not so obvious. Inconsistencies. Also, letting them see beyond the veil, you know, pulling that curtain back and letting them see the wizard. We were talking before about how am I really the red hat guy 24/7? No, but even when I'm not the red hat guy, even when the hat's not on, the glasses aren't on, I'm still essentially the same person. So it's not, I'm not faking anything outwardly, and that's what makes it resonate so well, but I'm totally different. And a lot of times when you build up these personal brands, and if you let somebody kind of take a peek behind the curtains, they go, oh, they're really just human after all. And it let them down. So I think that could be a lot of it. But you avoid a lot of that by, again, just being authentic, being your personal self, you know, being everything that you are, regardless of whether you're on or whether you're hanging out. But some of the other ways, man, inconsistency is the biggest, you know. Whenever I look at a podcast, and I do a lot of podcast audits, and sometimes you see these shows, they do so many different things right, but then they do so many different things wrong because they're inconsistent in their approach. Maybe they're inconsistent in their titles. Maybe they're inconsistent in their release schedule. Maybe they're inconsistent in the length of the shows. And all of those little inconsistencies lead to bigger inconsistencies that can cause you problems. So I think you have to be cognizant of your brand. You have to do a self-evaluation. You have to do a self-audit and make sure that you're being consistent on all aspects of whatever it is that you're doing to build that personal brand. Because, I mean, if you look at it, I hoard up my personal brand at work when I was still in corporate. You know, I got jacked up on alcohol. And although I went to rehab and came back and I was brought back into the office, they stuck with me through all of it. They were an amazing company to be with. Everybody at the office knew that I was a freaking alcoholic at the time. Mm-hmm. And I come back trying to be straight laced now, but guess what? All the damage that I'd done prior to getting straight and coming back was already in the can. And while I would have a job there today, if I still wanted it, I was never going to go anywhere because why? I destroyed that personal brand. And a lot of times there's no fixing that. So maintain that consistency, make sure you are who you are and do everything you can to stay on the straight and narrow in regards to your brand. And again, that goes back to why I would never relaunch the tip. It's just not consistent with the messaging that I have now.
Because same thing with the radio show, the cult radio show. It's not who I am today. It's right. Not who I want to be. It's not who you want to do. I think you can absolutely evolve your personal brand. I think you can make it change and you can walk it. You can walk it to something else. And then you look at people like Yeezy and Prince when they wanted to be some sort of symbol or whatever. That actually ended up hurting their brand more than it ever helped their brand because they're not trying to walk it. They're not trying to do anything. They become so out of touch. They just do something that's so incredibly weird that we don't understand it. Maybe they do. Maybe they're tired of being that person, but with your personal brand, you can't. You've got to walk it. Your consistency argument is 1,000%. The biggest thing that I've learned is that over the course of the last 3 years, I went from this to that, to this, to that, back to podcasting. Now, to me, they're all connected. But I was talking to somebody about this podcast company. I was like, oh, is that your new job? And I'm like, no, I haven't had that many jobs. I promise you. It's all connected to me, right? That when I was in insurance marketing, then to marketing, then to video editing for commercials and marketing, and then to podcasting, then it all makes sense to me. It was all a linear path for me. But out from the outside looking in, you're right. People are like, does this guy just change careers every 3 days? And I'm like, no, I found a vein and you got to go down that rabbit hole. But not letting people in, not letting them see that, kind of being consistent about who I am has really made a difference.
Yeah, and you're going to have that. You know, as we talked about before, you're going to have multiple brands that you go through. You're going to have multiple evolutions that you go through. And it does get to a point where you're like, man, I don't even want to tell people about this new brand I've got because I've already got all these. Oh, here's another post by Larry about his new brand or his new company or his new whatever. But honestly, that's part of it until you find that hook. Once you get that hook, once you get that, and somebody, the guy that I went and met with in Waco at his studio, you know, he called my red hat a gimmick. I love your gimmick. And I'm like, I guess maybe it kind of is a gimmick. Maybe I don't look at it as a gimmick, and I never looked at it as a gimmick. But from an external perspective, I guess maybe it is a gimmick because it makes me recognizable. So much so, and this is something that you have to embrace, is that, you know, Sarah, my business partner, right? She's been on the show. Yes. We flew out to, and this goes back to something you were alluding to earlier too. Like, why would you go with the red hat, considering the red hat has some fairly negative connotations associated with it? Mm-hmm. So we flew out to LA a few months ago, and I got in. We flew on different flights because she's in Austin, I'm in Dallas, and I got in before her. So I went over to the terminal and was waiting to get baggage for her flight to get in and for her to come in. And going to LA, I wasn't very comfortable wearing the red hat.
She's so, telling the story. Yeah.
So I wore a white hat, and I'm sitting there at baggage, and I see her prancing down the little aisle there, and I'm waiting for her to come over, and she just keeps on prancing. And then she comes back and keeps on prancing, and she didn't even recognize me without the red hat. So that's where we have to make sure that we understand that we have to go under that red hat. And while this is my gimmick or my identifier or the brand image, I'm the brand that's underneath, and we have to work on transcending that. So keep that in mind, and keep that consistency involved for everything that's under your red hat.
Absolutely, man. Where can we find you? Where can we get a hold of you? Give us all your deets.
Sure, man. LarryRoberts.com is my website. Pretty easy to remember. That's my name. Don't wear it out. No, do wear it out, actually, because that's my brand. So LarryRoberts.com, you can find everything there, all my socials there. I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm 51 years old, so I live on Facebook more than any other platform because that's where all the old people hang out. Right. So you can find me over there. But I'm on IG, LinkedIn, everywhere. I'm easy to find.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. I'll probably have you back. You're a wealth of knowledge. This show's a little bit different. We don't cycle guests. We're looking for repeat people to come talk about things to help us look at the real business, because we really, really believe that business is changing. Business is an ever-evolving thing. And to break out of that, to be successful, to be noticed, personal brand is something that you need. You got to be a little bit different. Not so fucking different people hate you, but you got to be a different enough people realize you, right? And finding your personal brand is kind of like kind of like finding that right swath. Thank you so much for stopping by. Check us out on smallbusinessdelivered.com, where you can find all of our shows. It's a new up-and-coming business podcast network, smallbusinessdelivered.com.